I turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We want to do Lord's will. That's a good song. Enjoyed that. Enjoyed the special by Brother Tim. Hadn't heard him sing that one in a while. It's one of my favorites. I kind of like the same stuff over and over again when I eat. I'm kind of the same thing with music. I could listen to the same songs over, and I do sometimes in the vehicle or whatever. I listen to the same CD for a year before I change it out. And some of those songs need to be just sung over and over. That's one of them. Both of those songs are very, very good. A couple of things, just talking to the church family tonight, a couple of things reminding you. Some of you were working in Children's Church this morning and may not have been here Wednesday night, but we did sign the bank loan for the activity center on Monday this past week. Praise the Lord. And so also when we signed the bank loan for the construction of the activity center, we also signed the our current loans, re-signed, and those loans, and they were redone. And so it's saving us about $6,000 or $7,000 a month right now that we can spend towards the no interest loan of the construction of the building. Everybody kind of understand what I'm saying? So I did not realize that was going to happen. I thought what the banker was telling me, I thought that the redo of the current loans would be done at the end of the project, but instead it was done at the beginning, which saves us a lot of money. And by the way, our interest rate went down by almost a point and a half. And so actually more than that, didn't it? 4.2 down from 6. And so just a great God thing, and that's awesome. So we signed that on Monday. 2 weeks ago, Friday, we took the permits, or took the plans to the city. And then this last Friday, we paid our building permit fee, as well as submitted for a variance. And so y'all pray that as they put those together that we can get our permit. They verbally told me they thought they could have the permit to us by the middle of this next week, or this week, and that the variance would not be considered until mid-July. And so the variances we're asking for is that we could leave the north-south side of the gym in metal rather than brick and masonry, because we're going to add buildings there later on, Lord willing, and then leaving the west side of the activity center also in metal permanently, if they would allow that. So what that does is we pay $100, and then they consider it, and it's brought to the city council. So I'll get to stand before the city council mid-July sometime and get to talk to them, and the city council will actually vote on it right there in front when I make the proposal. So y'all be in prayer, and I'll let you know when that's going to happen so that we can pray about it. It would save us. If they gave us a variance on the north and the south side and the west side, the savings would be close to $100,000. That's a big savings. And then if they just do it on the north and south side, that's also great. That'll help us. And we may have to put it on the west side, do something there. So that happened, and the permit's in the process. And then Brother Dan Whiffen, our contractor, we call him Brother, because he's a good Christian man, fine Christian man. He's the one that built this building and did the remodel on the old building and two-story, that center portion. Did a fantastic job in 2011, 2012. And he is our contractor this time as well. And he said that, Lord willing, they'd start on the dirt work the end of this week. Hey. And you say, well, preacher, aren't you supposed to have like a groundbreaking ceremony? And it's been dragging on too long. Let's just get started. If there's a bulldozer out there, you guys will just be all excited. So I'm hoping at least if they don't move dirt, if they just put a bulldozer out there in the middle of the football field, that'd be awesome. So I'm just going to tell Brother Dan, hey, if they don't, you just at least put some equipment out there. But realizing and understanding that it's a subcontractor telling Dan Whiffen that he's going to get started. So we hope it'll happen. But we know we're close. That's the thing. Very, very close to getting started. And so very exciting. And so that's the permit. That's the variance. That's the contractor getting started. All the things have been, all the hoops mostly have been jumped through. And just pray there's no more hoops. And sometimes that still happens after we submit. They could come back with something. Also, secondly, everybody bored yet? Just like a little family time here, all right? Secondly, we've had some adjustments in staff, so kind of want to keep you up to date of what's going on, and we sure hated to lose the Dickersons, and they moved away on us, and we're saddened by that, and we miss them already. And then, but Miss Latta, Julie Latta, we've already announced it once, but just to make it clear tonight, stand up. No, you're all right. Miss Julie Latta will be the interim children's director, and I appreciate her willingness to do that. And we'll be heading up Vacation Bible School this summer, and she's the one to go to if you have any questions about the children's church area and those areas. And so, and as time goes on, we may be adding some more responsibilities to her as we go forward. But we appreciate her very, very much. And so she's already suggested some changes up there, and so we'll be looking to see some changes as we go forward in the children's church area. We want to make that check-in process and exit process easier if we can, and so she's working on that. Also, Brother Andrew Veach from California, he's a West Coast graduate, is our college intern this summer. You don't have to stand up, you're all right. Back there, working back there, and we had Caleb, actually, my oldest boy, was our intern last summer, college intern, and then Brother Veach is our college intern this summer, but he has already graduated, but he is not married. He does have a girlfriend, but he is helping us in various areas. And then our high school interns this summer is Victor Villalobos and Tyler King. And we are, still want you, no, y'all stand up. Y'all stand up. Stand up. Stand up. All right, now sit back down. But we really are privileged to have young men being called to the ministry out of our church, and privileged for them to come and work for us this summer. And you say, well, what do they do? Well, about half of it's manual labor, right? We just had this discussion in the finance team meeting tonight. Our staff works. Sometimes we'll have people come to our church and want to work on our... Anyway, works. And so these guys not only learn in the ministry side, and they hang out. I walk into Brother Latta's office, and Brother Latta's at his desk, two interns on each side. Do you ever get a little bit self-conscious, Brother Latta? But they're getting firsthand ministry experience, but also they Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they knock doors for 2 hours a day, as well as Brother Andrew as well. So they're knocking doors for a couple hours a day, and then just being involved in ministry, whatever else we can hopefully encourage them and teach them. And then with Brother Andrew being a graduate, he, Lord willing, is helping us in a few areas and helping us some layouts and area ministry and media and other things. And so be in prayer for Brother Andrew. He's from San Diego, California. He's in Texas, so he's like it's like being in another country, no doubt. And he's like from another country. And so he asked me the other day, he said, how could I fit in better? I said, and I gave him a couple of suggestions. I'll give him a few more. But it is a little different being in Texas. But we appreciate Brother Andrew's willingness to come and work for us. And then Brother Wiggins, please listen closely as I describe the position that Brother Wiggins holds. All right, here we go. Ready? So nobody turn me off. Somebody's going to turn me off and you need to go home. You're going to send out an email. Brother Wiggins is gone. He's leaving. No. Okay, here goes. As of the first week of June, Brother Wiggins is the administrator. Huh? He's not leaving. Stop. Brother Wiggins is the administrator of the Norris Baptist Bible Seminary. Part-time. That's the key word. Part-time. Brother Wiggins is the associate pastor and music director of the Heritage Baptist Church. Part-time. If you put that part together and that part together, what is it called? Full-time. And that's now the position that Brother Wiggins holds. Yes, Norris, the school, is paying part of his salary. We are paying part of his salary. All right, so that's how it's working. Brother Stewart from Victory Baptist Church is out there somewhat part-time, and I really believe what will happen is that Brother Wiggins will remain part-time, and Brother Stewart from Victory will come on part-time, paid part-time, out at the school as it gets bigger. And that what we have now will basically probably be what is going forward for a long time. And so appreciate Brother Wiggins and what he has meant to our church, and even Miss Danya too. And the blessing they are, and he's very happy here. Look at him, see? Everybody with me? He's very happy here, not going anywhere. I'm still ecstatic that I get to work with my best friend. There was some skepticism 3 or 4 years ago as to how that would work. It's worked out great. I think that proof's in the pudding. That ministry is awesome. The great thing about ministry is his work ethic, his ambition, his drive is to win people to Jesus. Mine is too. And in the ministry, if everyone's working towards it, then stuff gets done. And I appreciate Brother Wiggins, and he's not going anywhere. Everybody got said that? Part-time, full-time. And I will tell you on our end, it frees up a little money. Yeehaw. Okay, everybody's excited about that. And let's pray for the Norris Baptist Bible Seminary. It is the school I graduated from, the school that he graduated from. There's a great opportunity out there. All the buildings are paid for. Land is paid for. That building of land is worth $3 million. It's 12 acres. Great buildings. There's an opportunity to build a good school. Not a big school. It was never intended to be a big school, but a school that runs 50 to 100. And so let's pray that God would use that school in a mighty way. There's still not a strong, conservative, traditional King James Bible Bible college in the Metroplex. There's a contemporary one across the way over in Arlington, but not a strong, conservative, traditional one. So there is an opportunity there to train preachers. To train preachers. What an investment we can make. Our staff, pastoral staff, will be leaving in the morning to go to Lancaster, California for the Spiritual Leadership Conference at the West Coast Baptist Bible College and Lancaster Baptist Church. We skipped last year. We're trying to go every other year, mainly because of expenses. And we look forward to myself and Brother Trainmar, Brother Wiggins, and Brother Latta will be headed out in the morning. And we'll be back Thursday morning. So I just want you to pray for us. This leadership conference is very much administrative based and practicality, just amazing the things that we learn when we go out there. I'm always come back with something to help in the ministry. It's very practical. So each one of us will be attending. Brother Wiggins will attend music classes. I'll attend pastoral classes. Brother Trainmar get to attend some educational classes. Brother Latta will get to attend some youth classes. And so it's further training, further education. A lot of you in your job go from time to time for further education, and this is a great opportunity to do that. To go to a church that runs several thousand, that's very conservative, traditional, but very compassionate. And as we said, Caleb attends school out there, and Miss Sarah Harrison attends school out there. And it looks like our two high school graduates, is that both of you, have committed to go out there as well. So they'll both be headed to West Coast. And then, of course, we have two at Heartland, Brother Dylan and Brother Russell. And so just a blessing to be a part of that. So pray for us as we travel. We'll be headed out in the morning, come back Thursday morning. So Wednesday night, you'll be without the pastoral staff. We'll pray for y'all. The ladies are here, so my wife and Miss Danya are still working in the office, so if you need something, please holler. And the interns will be let loose. Not sure that's a good idea, so we'll be thinking more about that. It's a good family meeting. Everybody kind of up to speed. Finances are just tremendous. God's been good to us, and I always don't like to say, but offerings are up over last year, and God's blessing in that area. Just keep up your faithful giving, investing in eternity. The Lord's good. I will tell you, in the area of missions, and since this is focused on Mission Sunday, just want to encourage you to be faithful in your mission giving. Mission giving's down a scooch. Is that a way to say it? Am I okay to say that word, Miss Danya? A scooch? A scooch? Who pronounces it Scooch? Who pronounces it Scooch? How many of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about, Miss Anne Marie? It's a Texas thing. You'll get over it, all right? It's good. And so missions is down a little bit. Yeah. Miss Anne Marie has been wanting me to put together a Texas vernacular dictionary. A Brother Crawford dictionary. We need a Brother Crawford dictionary. So when I say tornado or I say something like that and you guys, you know. Y'all don't realize, but I'm not saying all the time I know what I'm saying. But most of the time when I say something off the wall, it's because I think we're here to also have a good time. I think sometimes we can take it too seriously. Sometimes I'm too silly, and from time to time I need to check that. I realize that. But check that. That's all right to say that too, isn't it? Okay, I appreciate that. God, the police are out tonight, and I'll get emails. Or Facebook will blow up. It'll be like, do you believe Brother Crawford said that? Or anyway, and then I get the English grammar guy people. I'm totally messed up. Let's preach a little bit. Mark chapter 6. I don't want to go through this entire chapter. Really, I don't even have points tonight. I have just basically have some statements I'd like to make about missions tonight. And I hope that if you were working in a different ministry this morning, if you can, sometime this week, I want to encourage you to go listen to the message this morning. And the message this morning, in a nutshell, is keep the main thing the main thing. Missions is the heartbeat of the church. If we are not a mission church, we are technically not a church. God, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. And we ought to be about the Father's business. And that is winning people to Jesus, baptizing them to disciple them. And so we want to keep that the main thing. And there's a lot of churches across the country who are not winning people to Jesus. They're just not. They've allowed other things to crowd in. I want to encourage you, Master Club workers. I mean, you're working up there on Wednesday nights. Lead a child to the Lord. That's your main goal. Lead somebody to Jesus. Sunday school teachers, your main goal is to lead somebody to Jesus. And I appreciate our Sunday school teachers and Master Club workers who are aware of that. But I want to encourage you, if you have a visitor come into your class, I can take any text I'm in, and I can give the gospel somehow, some way. And if you're a Sunday school teacher, a Master Club worker, and you have a visitor walk in, I'd encourage you, man. Steer it over somewhere. Give the gospel out. Give the kid an opportunity. Adults, the same way. Some of you who teach the adult classes, you see a visitor walk in that you haven't seen before. I mean, it ought to be about winning people to Jesus. And then I want to encourage those who go out and help us with the visitation. And every visit is a soul-winning visit. And you should approach that door as the opportunity to win that family or that individual to the Lord. I had the opportunity yesterday. I just stopped by a house that's recently been built over here and just talked to a couple. Just stopped in and I brought me a little visitor's packet that we give out and just sat and talked. Had a good visit with them. And we need to take the opportunity with our neighbors and friends and giving the gospel out. That's it. That's it. People are dying and going to hell. They need Jesus. And the hope for America is the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope for America is that people get saved and turn the nation around. We see here in this passage that Jesus sends out his disciples in verse 7, Mark chapter 6. He calls unto him his 12, and they began to send them forth two by two, and he gave them power to heal and to cast out the demons and unclean things. And he said to verse 9, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. He just talks about, hey, they should be out working. He said unto them, verse 10, and what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for the testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and so forth. I want to encourage you too. If they hated Jesus, they'll hate us. And sometimes you do visit with people or knock a door or talk with somebody at work who's not receptive. And the Bible makes it clear here, just dust your feet off and move on. And a long time, when I was first in the ministry and when I was in Bible college, it was nothing for me to knock a door and stay at a house for an hour arguing with somebody. I honestly do not do that anymore. I will discuss something with someone, but if they want to argue, I'm done. I think there's another person out there that needs Jesus. And for them to reject Jesus, you just need to move on, to move on. But notice here, he gave them the power, and he challenged them to go out, and they went out two by two, and there began to perform miracles. I just want you to know that he gave them the power to perform these miracles. Look at verse 30. Familiar passage to most, and I'm always aware that there are newer converts in here. So the story here is the feeding of the 5,000. In verse 30 of chapter 6, it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things both that they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place and by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved," what? "With compassion toward them, because they were as a sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love. In the next few minutes, I pray, God, we'd again just be aware and reminded of the compassion that you have for the lost, and help us, Lord, to walk in your steps. In Jesus' name, amen. He was moved with compassion. And when the day was now far spent, verse 35, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about into the village and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And he answered and said to them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread," and that's about a year's salary, "and give him to eat?" And they saith unto him, "How many loaves have ye? And go and see." And when they knew, they say, five loaves and two fishes. Verse 39, "And he commanded them to make all the sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down," and we know they sat down by companies and by sections. "And the bread, he blessed the bread, he blessed the fish and broke it up, and he fed that great crowd, 5,000, that's men only. So probably around 20,000 people he fed with five loaves and two fishes. That's an amazing miracle, isn't it? Jesus Christ performed great miracles, and he did so why? He did so to prove he was the Messiah, that he was indeed the one who was prophesied to come, that was given to, prophesied to come to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and on down through the Old Testament. The 12 apostles, though given the power, and we see this in this miracle, though given the power to perform miracles, still lacked confidence or faith that Jesus could provide every need. Sure, they had seen him heal the sick and heal the blind and all these things, but in the back of their mind, there was still a question: can he do anything? And I'm here to tell you, he can do anything. And they saw this great miracle performed of him taking just five little loaves and two fishes. We're talking about like two sardine-type fishes and these little loaves, and fed thousands with it. They had themselves been given power by Christ, and yet still questioned Jesus' ability to supply all their needs. Can I tell you, we've seen Christ work in our own lives, and yet sometimes we still question his ability to supply all of our needs, or to supply the ability to perform that which he has commanded. Sometimes we question even the Great Commission. We question and we say, how can we as a church have an impact and around the in the world? How are we going to make a dent in what's going on? Can I tell you, where God leads, he feeds. And when God commanded us to go, he gave us the ability to go. Not just the command, but empowered us to go and gave us the ability. In other words, he can do anything. Every great revival that's happened in America has started with three or four people. You can go back and read, whether it's the Haystack revivals or the revivals of the 1800s, most every revival was started with a small group of people. I won't say four, but with a small group of people, every one of them. You sometimes wonder, what can I do? What can I do as an individual? How can I impact the world? Can I tell you, just a few small individuals impact the world on three or four separate occasions in America and caused literally hundreds of thousands of people to get saved. God's plan works, in other words. God's plan works. But the disciples didn't believe that. In fact, they formed a committee and decided, we need to send these people away because we don't have enough to feed them. Even a year's worth of salary, a year's worth of money couldn't feed this crowd. I wrote this down, heard this a long time ago. It says, someone defined a committee as a group of people who individually can do nothing and collectively decide that nothing can be done. That's not always true, but they got together and said, you know what, Jesus, there's no way we can feed this group. Send them away. And Jesus said, well, what do we have? What do we have? And so they began to look and they found 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And what did Jesus say? Well, this is not enough. Let's send them away. No, it's not what he said. He said, set them down. And he set them down in companies, in groups. And there he blessed the bread. There he broke the bread. And there a great miracle was performed. And God, in Christ's hands, a great miracle was performed. I want to remind you, the miracle was in Christ's hands. Not in the baskets. Not in whatever they were passing around. Not in the boy's ability or his ability with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But it was manufactured by the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Christ is the manufacturer. We are merely the distributors. Remember that. As we are giving the gospel out, we are not the one who saves the soul. Our job is to merely give them the bread. Our job is to merely give the gospel. It's the Lord who saves them. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts them. Remember that. Don't. In other words, when you're witnessing to that aunt, or you're witnessing to that neighbor, or you're witnessing to that coworker, and that coworker rejects you, or that neighbor rejects you, or maybe that aunt's rejected you 75 times. Listen, my concern is only to give the gospel. It's the Lord who gives the increase. I'm merely to pass the bread. The Lord expands it. There's so much here. The world is hungry today. I see so many times teenagers who see them out on the street, teenagers who dress different, look different on purpose because they're looking for attention. Hello? The world is hungry for love, for compassion. They're going to find it somewhere. They're going to do what they can to gain that attention. And I say teenagers because it's real prominent teenagers. But can I tell you, the only one who satisfies is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. He's the one that gives life. He's the only one that can fill the soul and satisfy. He's the only one who can take a bread and multiply it. I'm going to encourage Christians tonight too. It's important to maintain a healthy and proper spiritual diet. We preached this the other day, making sure that we are eating spiritual food and staying healthy, reading our Bibles and praying. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. The bread is the gospel, the word of God. Missionaries around the world are giving out the bread. And though many times it looks like it may be an impossible task, and maybe it seems like it's an impossible task, but we must understand we're the distributors, Christ is the manufacturer. The miracle is not in our hands, the miracle is in His hands. We simply are the distributors. As a missionary goes out, he is simply distributing the bread of life. Christ performs the miracle in the heart. Christ saw this crowd, and instead of having disdain, not even disdain, the apostles didn't have disdain toward them. They just had a lack of compassion towards them. And so many times we do that. We look at someone, there's not the compassion there. There's not that vision of that person, listen. A person dies, and they either go to heaven or hell. There's not more options. And when Christ looks upon an individual, he has compassion because he knows that. He's God. He knows everything. And we as Christians, we need a better and a proper understanding, a better vision, and more compassion when it comes to the lost. These disciples saw this great crowd and said, send them away. But Jesus Christ looked on them and had compassion on them as sheep having no shepherd. We need to look at our co-workers and have compassion. We need to look at our neighbors and have compassion. We need to look at our families and have compassion, remembering that there's only two options, heaven or hell. We must get compassion. And say, what do you mean by that? I'm saying compassion is not something necessarily that comes natural to us, because we're selfish by nature. I would say to you, and myself included, is to go to God and say, Lord, give me compassion. Lord, give me the compassion that Jesus has, your Son has. I need that compassion. We must get a vision. We must get compassion. As a church, we need compassion. If we're not careful as we're growing. By the way, a growing church, I haven't said this in a while. A growing church is always in transition. And as we grow, there are some changes that have to be made. And sometimes we don't like the changes. But we need to change so that we can reach more people and have that compassion. The purpose of the church is to win people to Jesus Christ. And sometimes as we grow and we see that the carpet's not quite as pretty as it used to be, and we say to ourselves, you know, if we didn't have all those Christian school kids in here and maybe those bus kids in here, or if we didn't allow the teenagers to run around like a bunch of... No, I'm just kidding. And maybe that carpet wouldn't get some... You know what I'm saying? We got to be careful that we began to look at the edifice or the buildings or something we've accumulated and began to try to hold on to it rather than it's a tool. It needs to be kept up, and I think we do a good job of that and taking proper care of things. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we need to be careful that we don't get introverted again and become me-centered and it's about us, but we need to reach out to those around us. Having compassion for that teenager that rides the bus, having compassion for these guys and these ladies down here, and putting out $17,000 so far that the youth have spent in this year alone in keeping these kids busy. I'm excited that we had the ability to do it and that you guys have given and others have given to make that possible. It takes money to keep these guys busy. Woo! I'm excited about it. I'm excited that our ministry budget continues to grow and be a part and going forward in that. We're to hear as a church to win people to Jesus. Just a few points tonight. Jesus Christ broke the bread, blessed it, and it was distributed. The miracle was in Christ's hands. I again want to encourage you tonight. The miracle's in Christ's hands, not yours. You're simply to give out the gospel. You're to just take a track and hand it to someone. You're to take a track and leave it there at the restaurant. You're to tell your neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the Lord who'll do the miracle as we go forward. It's going to cost something. It costs something to be a witness. It really does. I'm not talking about just today in this day and age where we might see persecution. I'm talking about it costs time. It costs money. It costs effort. Some of you have to come straight from work to be here tonight. Some of you had to come on Wednesday night straight from work to teach in the master's clubs, to help in the youth. It costs something to be a part. Win people to Jesus. Some of you there's a sacrifice. There's a cost. There's a cost to send Brother Doyce to Boise, Idaho. There's a cost. But it's worth it. By the way, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand. As we said this morning, let's stay on track. Keep the main thing the main thing. Spreading the bread of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christian, tonight I want to remind you that Jesus Christ is the bread. I love that song, Brother Jerry Seiler, when he was here during the revival. You know, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Let's sing it. Ready? Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calling now, call and dine, come and dine, the Master calleth. Lord, we thank you for this time we've had to come and kind of have some family time, but also, Lord, to be reminded of the importance of spreading your word, of spreading the good news, of spreading the bread of life. And Lord, I pray for your power and your enablement as we talk to somebody this week, as we take that opportunity to witness to a neighbor, a friend, or coworker. Lord, encourage us and give us courage and strength to do so. We do pray for our missionaries as they sacrifice their time, their talent, their treasure to be there on the field. And Lord, give them fruit for their labor. Help us, Lord, to realize that you can and will supply our every need. Thank you, Lord, for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 337, Trust and Obey. For the